Vera, did you hear what Wanda just gurgled or no? Oh, fuck me hard. Oh no.
I got my feet in cement. I got my head in the clouds. You might call me demented, but I am too damn proud. I got a hunger for something outside the status quo. So pull up your chair. We are full automatic. We are out and about. We are singing hallelujah with our hearts torn out. No need to beat on what you already know. Your place has been set.
Hi there. There, hello there, ladies. Jesus. It's Madge Weinstein of Yeast Radio, and once again we are here back with this hot show after almost a year of hiatus. And I'm so glad to be here with you today in this intimate setting. First of all, we have the Baroness Vera Charles back from her outrageous safari in Africa, over the top, where she was surrounded by 26 black slaves.
I call them nubile young men.
Is this some kind of Mel Gibson thing?
Yes. And they held a gigantic mosquito tent around her at all times while she rode Sally the elephant.
In the jungle, the quiet jungle.
It's not nice. They used to call me that in high school. Tonight.
What did they call you in high school?
Wema where?
The elephant.
Oh.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Ow. So how are you doing? Did you have a nice safari?
Oh, the safari was beyond. I mean, it took a full year. It's nearly been a year since we've recorded together. Mm. August will be our year hiatus, so it's a marvelous thing. I'm a little bit sunburnt, but I find that when the nubiles cream me, I feel better.
Was it expensive to bring the Winnebago on the goddamn boat?
Oh, I don't think about money.
Do me a favor. Everybody stop what you're doing and Google the words Cameroon and First Lady.
Even us?
I don't want to do anything with the computer because
it's probably a good idea.
Yeah. After you introduce Wanda, Madge, because you have not yet introduced Wanda, after you introduce Wanda, you need to explain what's been going on with us trying to record here.
Yeah.
So go.
I would like to introduce, and therefore will now introduce, Wanda Wisdom of the program. Hi, Wanda. How are you today?
Well, hello there, ladies. I'm good.
No.
I'm sitting in my chair.
Was that as Skype-y for you as it was for me, Madge?
Okay.
Does she sound messy or not?
Oh, God. Wanda, you still there?
Fuck me hard. Oh, no.
Madge, are you there?
I don't hear you.
Oh my God!
It's fucking Madge Weinstein.
Oh, all right. Let me try one more time. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, I mean Madge Weinstein. Whoops.
Whatever you fucking.
Oh, fuck me.
Lost.
Now, why is it are you calling me, darling?
I'm here. Do you hear me?
I hear you. I mean, we're connected still.
I think there was something wrong with Madge.
I think so, too.
He's not on the... he's now gone, so he must have restarted or something.
Oh, man.
Oh, wait. Here we go. Let me try this.
Okay.
There we go. We're ringing.
Now, this is the last time you lost me the last time you did this. Am I still with you?
Yep.
Yeah, but...
Okay. Madge?
Yeah.
Okay. Wanda?
Yep.
Okay. Your audio quality changed, Vera. I mean, I'm sure it's fine for recording, but it's strange.
Well, you guys Skype-y. Everybody
you guys
is
both
super
got very Skype-y, and that's why I'm saying one of you is going to have to try to do this because
you're on a shitty connection.
Because I'm on a wireless connection, and very likely it's just going to drop.
Okay.
Okay, so how do we handle this? Does everybody hang up from everybody?
Yes.
Yeah, and then stop recording.
And don't stop recording. And then who is going to call whom?
Let me try it again.
All right. Okay. I'm hanging up now.
Me too. Bye. God, I'm a whale.
I'm eating a carrot because I'm a rabbit.
Hello there.
Hello?
Yeah, we're good.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Okay.
Hi there, hello there, hello there.
Now, just for technical purposes, what happened the last time is when you introduced Wanda and she began to speak for me, she got hideously Skypey, and then you, Madge, disappeared.
Right. So and from my end, Wanda went hideously Skypey when she started yodeling, and then you both disappeared.
Yodel? Did I yodel?
Are we all still recording? Have we stopped?
Yeah,
or not?
No, I'm still recording.
You too, Wanda?
Yep, I'm still recording.
Okay, then this is just part of the show.
Okay.
You know, that's fine. Anyway, as I was starting to say, because Vera wanted me to, the show is really fucked yesterday because of me, because we did a nice show. I thought it was a very nice show.
Yeah, we almost finished it.
Intimate setting, and then I realized that my recording had crashed 10 minutes into the show, and I didn't even notice because I was so involved into the First Lady of Cameroon.
Oh, dear God.
I don't know. She made me click it. Oh, that's you. Oh, my God, Wanda.
Why are you doing anything on the computer that could jeopardize this recording?
Because she gave it to me, and I had to click it, and I'm glad I did.
That's very Aunt Carol.
That's totally you. That is the. Is that really a woman, and is that really the First Lady of Cameroon?
That is the First Lady of Cameroon, swear to God.
She's like, hi there, ladies. It's not Aunt. It looks like you, not Aunt Claire or Carol, whatever her name is, Carol.
Yes, I would accede to that statement.
No, I take it I got it too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You can click it. Live crazy.
Live on
anyway,
the edge, Vera.
So yesterday was fucked, and then today we spent the last half hour trying to get this to work because it keeps gurgling. And last time, Wanda yodeled, as you heard.
Ah!
Yeah. Well, that time it worked.
Oh.
Hi there, ho there, and hello there. Ladies.
Yeah,
anyway,
it
has been
hell trying to get this thing up and running, and it's going to be a very short show because you ladies both need to leave at a very...
Oh, I'm fine.
Oh, you're
fine. I can extend only because it was my fault, and right.
Okay.
And I stayed at work till like 1:30 in the morning yesterday to catch up, even though I didn't. Let's talk about consumption. No, first let's talk. I wrote down a few topics that we lost from yesterday.
Okay.
Or rather, that I lost. I would first like to re-bring up the topic of the yellow fatty that got one turd in trouble. What's that about?
Oh, yes, the yellow fatty. I posted a photograph on the YouTube, or not on the YouTubes. I don't know which site I'm on, Facebook. Because there is this woman in front
of
me.
You didn't say
the...
it right, Wanda.
What?
You didn't say it right. Say it right. Well, where did you post it?
Oh, the face.
Thank you.
And there was this very large woman in a very small yellow top sitting in front of me on the public transportation, or as I like to call it, the people's limo. Anyway, I posted a photograph of her in all her corpusculentness, and... I was harassed. No, I shouldn't say that. One of my listeners didn't appreciate it and said I owed the woman an apology for taking her photograph. Really,
should
I think
you just
he was
stay on the bus all day till she started writing it again? And what are you supposed to do? How do you get a hold of her?
Well, I mean, you know, I was taking a photo because she looks so fancy, but not
right,
really.
Nothing
I was
with the camel toe.
I was not making a statement on her obesity as much as I was the combination of said obesity and lack thereof fashion. But anyway,
the difference though? really, do you think in one case that your listener would, if you had told your listener that, do you think that the listener would have said, oh, that's okay, you don't owe her an apology?
Well,
then.
One thing I wondered is because a lot of people reacted instantly to her size, which duh, I guess is an obvious thing. But I wondered if I had couched the statement, the photograph, by putting a caption on it, you know, like, look at the crazy banana lady.
Well, you just posted it, right?
I just posted the photograph
with
no
comments.
Comments.
So I would imagine I would have to infer that the person was complaining because you posted something anonymously and therefore you owe her an apology, even though it was a public place, which sounds ludicrous. So it's probably... I think the problem is the person, the listener, who owes you an apology for assuming that you would post somebody because of their obesity, therefore inferring that you're a homophobic racist, which you obviously are.
Well, I've been accused of being a racist many times, as you know.
Did I say homophobic? I meant fatphobic.
Vera, you're an expert on this topic.
Eugephobic.
Corpulence? I'm an expert on corpulence? Yeah. As I said the last time we had this conversation, because I think we've had it, what, four times now? The last time we had this conversation, I think the woman dressed like that owes us all an apology. Because
That's true.
I think that when, what, regardless of your size, even if you're a skinny, beautiful boy, having pants hanging around your ass and your underwear hanging out is stupid. It looks dumb. And,
well, wait a second. Now you're being racist because that's a fashion statement. And I had a great idea. I haven't made this public.
Can I finish my thought?
Yeah.
So I think that the woman that is not dressing appropriately to her body, not necessarily even size, just her body type, that is not complimenting her body, but rather insulting it and then showing everybody that insult, she owes us an apology.
She does.
I like the way that Vera thinks.
I would like to mention two things that brought up in my life recently. First of all, I had a great idea. I was going to introduce it on my own show, but in fact, I will do it now and debut this wonderful idea, which is you have these blacks that wear the pants below, like what Vera was talking about, around the area of mid-buttock. Now, I have been traveling with a lot of urban dwellers.
It's not just black people, Madge, at all.
I know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Okay. Well, whatever. But it originated with the prisons and, you know, because you can't have Belgium. But the thing is, I thought, what a wonderful idea if people who lost weight, big women, did that and it would show the world that they lost weight. So the big women could wear their slacks hanging down depending on how much weight they've lost. So if they lost a lot of weight, their gigantic stretch pants would be sort of mid ass, and you could see their floral panties and maybe some stains, you know. Don't you think that would be kind of hip? And I mean, it's like showing the world I lost some weight. I think it's kind of a good idea. Don't you, Vera?
Well, I think that you have too much free time to think.
I think I still don't understand how people walk around like that. I mean, I sound like some old white lady, which, you know, surprise, but I don't understand how it's comfortable. I mean, when I wear things that aren't
completely...
When I wear things that aren't completely fitting to my body, I'm sitting there, you know, fiddling with it all day. Like if my undies are too tight, I'm picking them out of my ass.
I can explain some of this only because I travel with so many of these blacks who wear these clothes. You can say it's not blacks, but it is. I don't care, Vera. Well, maybe in your part of the country, it's white people.
There's a lot
of people with suits and ties that wear their pants down to their knees. It's true.
No.
All the time.
Well, only white people wear suits and ties.
Studio moguls.
Hold your thought for a second and then dive right in. But I did want to say the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen is the guys that are wearing these saggy pants that, first of all, pull them up and then pull them down again. That's how they adjust it. They pull everything up, and then they pull their pants down again till it's barely hanging on. I cannot imagine how that would be comfortable.
It is a fashion statement, first of all. Second of all, it is part of it has to do with the bitch factor. Like in prison, when you wear that, the person that wears those is the bottom, sexually, the passive partner. So if you're somebody's bitch,
that would stop a lot of sagging if they knew that. Those boys would hike up those pants so fast.
The other thing is, it's the idea of it, and a lot of people do it wrong. But the idea of it is that if you have you're supposed to show off a nice, well-rounded, shapely butt. It's not for people that don't have butts because then the pants just keep falling. But if the butt is the proper dimensions, then the pants actually rest sort of mid-butt, showing off the shape of the butt.
What I am intrigued by is the people that will take it to the extreme of, so they pull it down around their, like, you know, lower clitoris thigh, and then belt it.
Right, and that's just, some people are just stupid.
My husband said many, many years ago, when this sagging fad started, that if these boys had any guts at all to be rebels, they would do that without wearing underwear. But they don't. They have to wear their big boxer
shorts.
That
just sounds like a dirty old man said that.
Well, he's 7 years younger than
I. He wants to see a lot of ass.
Mm. He's 7 years younger.
Well, that's still old man, honey. Sorry, that was a cheap shot.
I love that. He's 7 years younger. Listen, the other thing is, speaking of panties, you know, this yoga class I was talking about, well, my friend Chris went, and there's this man, well, there's a lot of sexy men that go there with Hatchet, which has to do with why some people go there, not me. I'm there for the yoga. But there is this straight man, and his name is Patrick, and he always wears the exact same thing. Toot, toot, toot shorts, Pearlizumi bicycling short shorts with the legs rolled all the way up. So they're shorty, shorty Pamela Anderson pants.
Yeah.
And even the top band is rolled down. He's got an amazing fig. Yeah. Just he's beautiful. His body's muscular. He rides his bike. He looks like an absolute Adonis, and you can't stop looking at him. But he wears the same pants every time, and his humongous penis shows through the short shorts. And like
when you say show through, are we talking penis lines, or are you talking actual penis out?
I'm talking a little of both, because with those, this is the problem with those kind of pants. The spandex is they wear out, and any part where it's stretched more than it's really supposed to based on the sizing chart tends to make it a little bit sheer, and you can kind of see through it. This is the real problem with obese people wearing bicycling shorts that are too small, is that they starts to get see-through after a bit.
Ew.
And so, you know, with him, it was kind of cool because he's, you know,
hot.
Massive in the pants and very hot. And, you know, and I've always positioned myself strategically, so when I do my downward facing thrust, and so I get to see his cock, which is always pointing every which, you know, a certain way. And everybody, I was even comparing it with my friend after class. He's like, oh yeah, it was to the right, and this, and the mushroom head was up. You could just see it perfectly. But the
and
other
this,
thing
this
that
is
was
all from an anthropological point of view.
Oh yeah, of course. Now the other thing is the lady behind me. We did those things where you do the upside down. I forget what it's called, a wheel, where you're like, it's like a backflip thing. So you're upside down. The girl behind me, I was staring straight at her. Pussy.
Uterus.
Pussy. And I saw the biggest pig's knuckle I've ever seen. And her pants, her lycra pants were sheer. And it was so gross because even though I love pussy, I just don't want to see a big pair of lips, skin and all, sticking out of the goddamn pants behind me.
Well, doesn't that mean you're going to be poor or something?
Yes. Woman see another woman pussy, she go broke. And I will continue to be broke.
I remember
I am
that.
So sick of looking at these cunts.
I never.
Jesus.
I want to know why these people are wearing spandex and yoga.
I don't know. People are weird. People are exhibitionists. And straight people don't know how to dress.
Well, Wanda's got a lot of nerve after seeing that picture of her, don't you think, Madge?
Hi there, ho there, and hello there. Next topic is Wanda's picture of the firm. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
That's my new segue sound. I'm going to have it lyricized. Hi there, ho there, and hello there. Next.
Ladies.
Yeah, what was with that picture? And we'll have to attach it. Wanda posted a picture somewhere that Cheryl found and gave it to me and distributed it to et al.
Oh my God, Wanda, her MO doesn't change.
Not much. And so you were there in the back doing a chicken fat dance.
Yes.
And then there were some messy queens with pom-pons and looking all crazy and shit. What was that about on Pride?
silver lame pants.
And yes. How does that exemplify Pride? I'd like to know.
Well, it is Gay Shame Week. No, that was for Pride. The gym I go to, the gentle lady that teaches the class, her name is Diva Doug Melrose. She is fabulous. And
Doug what?
Melrose is his last name.
Melrose, hey, like that?
Yes.
Melrose is a very famous street out here in Los Angeles.
Melrose. There's no S on the Melrose.
Oh, Melrose, hey.
Anyway, so he likes to do costumes and stuff occasionally when he's teaching class on Saturday mornings.
And what's the class?
It's a step aerobics class at the firm.
Uh-huh.
It is a guaranteed hour and 15 minutes of sweat.
And faggotry.
Yes, and gay. It is so gay, like balls hanging out everywhere.
Yeah, I saw that. But it looked like you were wearing underwear at least.
Oh, yes, so I do wear underwear. In fact, okay, anyway, so he dressed up as a giant pom-pom for Pride.
And we know that Wanda was wearing underwear because Madge actually in the chat room blew up the picture and circled your crotch.
Oh, it figures you're watching the one time that happens.
I was.
I mean, normally we speak
ladies,
so highly of Wanda Wisdom.
Yes,
always.
I'm a racist with no underwear. I know that's what you call me.
I don't. That's Cheryl.
Yes, well.
I say...
Blaming it on Cheryl is tantamount.
Do you know how it's evolved, though? Do you know that? Do you know that since I've been traveling for work, now I travel with pocket one turd?
No, what is that?
She's my pocket racist. It says terrible things about the performers sometimes. Pocket racers.
Oh my god.
Petered. So it's really evolved. You should be proud.
The outfits that we all wore for Red Ribbon, because you know the Red Ribbon ride is coming up. It's actually tomorrow.
What's that?
It's you know, it's the old what did they call it? AIDS ride.
Oh, not the one from Minneapolis to Chicago.
But now it's transformed into a local thing. They drive all over Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
But so we did something in celebration of the people that are on the ride at the firm, and we all wore red. Well, I wore these shorts that were translucent when wet, which God, I had no clue they were that
bad.
I'm
sure you had no idea.
And I was wearing black panties underneath. So it looked like I was wearing a hefty cinch sack.
My God.
And I thought, my God, if Cheryl Murkowski finds these photos, they're going to be
where are they?
None of your business.
Oh, come on. That's not fair.
Anyway.
I have a question. I would like to know, because I think that many of the Eat This Hot Show listeners that have come screaming, running back to hear us again that haven't been listening to our individual programs, although I can't imagine why they wouldn't. you mentioned in passing that your new profession. Can you expound upon that a little bit?
I think I was doing that last year when we stopped, wasn't I? Maybe not as much.
No, you weren't talking about it because there was an issue with something else. So you didn't really talk about it a lot at all.
Well, yeah, because I didn't want my parents to know. Now I still don't, but I don't care. The thing is, I make pornography now. I edit the pornography, and I make DVDs, and I even get to do videography, which is something
I really want to do now, too?
Yes.
Oh, my. What? Please tell me what that experience is like.
Oh, God. Shitty.
Literally.
Yeah.
Do you get poop on you?
Not on me yet, but one of the other people who does videography did a few weeks ago. I was just showing Cheryl the video of it. I'm going to premiere it on my new Grum. It looked like fudge brownie mix just pouring out. I mean, this shit happens so much.
Why don't these people douche?
They're dumb. But, I mean, I just could go on forever about it, but it's so gross. And, like, this guy had a big dump on this other guy. I mean, normally it's not shit. Sometimes you get brown water or red water, but not a whole big dump. This was goddamn hot fudge.
Do you save that footage and sell it on the black market?
No pun intended.
It's all
racist.
On the black market.
On the chocolate market.
No, I want to, but technically it's obscene, so I can't.
What does that mean, obscene? Isn't the whole thing obscene?
No, it's obscene when it has shit or blood and that kind of stuff.
Well, how the hell did two girls in one cup go all the way?
It's not legal. They got pursued legally, and they said something like the defense that they can always come back with is it wasn't real. It was chocolate pudding, and they did something to that effect.
Oh.
So that's how. Or it could be in the Netherlands or something like that. I don't really know. But so there's a lot of poopy in there in these things. And so with this clip was so much shit. But the funny thing is that my boss sent me an email a couple days ago. And he said, look at this fucking email. And the guy was getting upset because we didn't call him back for another shoot.
Oh, because he had an accident.
He said in the email, he said, look, I do this because I love it. I'm a trust fund baby. I mean, this is like real. We're talking nasty ass motherfucking thug who shits everywhere. He's like, I have a trust fund. I don't need to do this. So please do not disrespect me. And he sends, honest to God, he sends with his email. Acting all bitchy and bad grammatic. No, he sends three pictures of himself fanning out $100 bills to show us how much money he has.
Wow.
So are you still in the business of the, how do I call this? The urban porn?
Yes. It's black. Thug porn is the problem. But we also do Latin
poppy
porn. And we live stream too, poppycock, right? And we live stream now. That was my idea.
How do you live stream?
Well, when we shoot, we hook up the camera to a computer that is streaming through our website, the Coco Dorm, one of our websites.
I just love it. They call it the Coco Dorm.
It's totally. It's like, and that's why it's so funny. Like, because now our friend Reagan, who used to be on this show, is now a member of the Honky Dorm, also known as Big Brother.
I love that.
Because they're all
by the way.
White ladies. Which no, is there, something there, I really
there
wanted
is,
to.
There is a chocolate lady on Big
barely,
Brother.
Barely. Monet. Oh, please. She makes Mariah Carey look like Oprah Winfrey.
Oh.
Give me a break. Come on. But supposedly, Reagan mentioned my name the other day on the live feed, because they have these live feeds, in case you don't get enough of their vapidity, during the show. And he mentioned my name, and they cut to bubbles, is what I was told.
Always.
Because you're not allowed to talk about people.
No, they never, ever, ever stay. Well, let me put it this way. We watched the opening show and then the Showtime after show on the very first night. And all they ever do is stick with the tits. It's the most.
Yeah. And they're like in a bathtub together. Like,
yeah,
how does...
it, that's all they do. And it's because it's a bunch of straight cameramen and straight producers calling the shots. And they don't want to hear. Reagan floating around the room talking about people, or any of the other jocks, mumbling and drooling. They want to see.
Yeah, but
titties.
They certainly have them shirtless enough, the men.
That's if the producers probably could help it, they would. But they cut away. They cut away constantly the night that we watched it. It was the women, and it was really frustrating because the one conversation that Reagan was involved in was around a kitchen table where this blonde bimbette was talking incessantly, and they never cut the shot away from her. So you'd like hear
yeah,
the
that
guy.
Stupid cunt, Brittany. When I first saw her, I said, I hope Reagan punches her in the cunt. She is so, because she's like, Reagan and I are going to be BFFs because I love gay people.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hate people.
And
like
then she fell in the first competition. She fell in all the big pile of ketchup. So I was glad.
Anyway, they just kept that you'd hear the voices around the table, but they never cut the shot away from this blonde bimbette with her titties. So I, the after dark right. at least, the show when it airs, I'm sure that they'll cut more in because they can't. They gotta appeal to a wider audience.
It's really awful. I mean, on one hand, like I love watching Reagan on it because he's my friend, and also because I know like this is for him and his, sort of the way he teaches and studies communication and his love for pop culture. This is really a dream come true.
It's
for
perfect
him.
For him.
And
it's
I'm
absolutely
very
is
happy for him. And I will continue to watch it. But the show is, and I think from a conceptual point of view, the show is interesting sociologically.
It was the first two seasons.
Right, right. But it is, what the fuck is that noise?
It's someone shaving? Wanda?
Sorry, it's my dildo.
Jesus Christ. But the show is so bloody, God awful. It makes me also embarrassed for him at the same time.
Bloody?
It is. It's...
Bloody as in I'm British sometimes. Just fuck it. I mean, the way they take, you could tell it's a combination of the worst kind of like Hollywood formulaic producer shit. Because they've got the guy who's like the Jersey Shore reject with bad hair. Like they're totally trying to get the Jersey Shore, fan club on this. Yeah. And they basically take all of the worst stereotypes in America, except for the racial ones, because they can't have, they don't want poor minorities watching it. And they, so they get like the worst stereotypes, the blonde, the annoying, like, oh my God, there's this girl and she's like, her name is Rachel, go figure. And she's the most annoying person on earth. And she's got these huge tits, fake red hair. And she's like, I'm a cocktail waitress. And she's like, oh my God, you guys, that kind of really annoying punch me in the face. And then she's talking to the guy who she's hot for, who's a chemist or something. She's like, oh my God, I'm like totally a chemistry major. I bet you didn't know that about me. And they're like, show her talking, and she never talks about chemistry. She's just like, isn't it deep? Don't you just love chemistry? Isn't it? But they're all just these horrible, just
they are. They're horrible, disgusting stereotypes. Yeah. And they always the good thing about Reagan that is different than every other queen that they've had on is that he's still severely lacking in the masculinity department, which is neither here nor there, but which they always do. They always put on a homosexual who is floating 6 feet above the ground. But Reagan is smart, and that's the difference. Every other season that I watched where they had an obviously a gay person on who was very swishy, they were dumber than a sack of hammers, and it was just insulting as all hell. The thing that Reagan's got going for him is he's smart, and that's cool. So it's nice to at least we've taken a step that we can be intelligent. You know.
But did you notice that the people on there, several of them, like actually literally say, "I'm smart. Yeah, I'm really smart."
Yes.
And they're always really dumb people that say that.
Yeah, well, that
like the guy with auto tattoo or the girl, "I'm really smart."
Yeah, isn't that just required though? If you're, you know, if you have to say something, then you, by definition, you're not.
Yep.
It's god awful. I mean, I've never seen this show in my life until this. I hate reality TV. I like scripted shows. I don't like what reality TV does to people and, you know, Vera's show. But my point of all this is that Reagan Fox stole Tom Cruise's career and Vera's. No, no. Reagan, I had this. I had this. I swear I had this. Do-over.
No. Okay. There's no do-overs here.
Vera stole. No. No. I get this. This is worth it. It's okay. There's a payoff. I swear, not really.
Okay.
Tom Cruise stole Vera's career. Reagan stole Tom Cruise's career.
Oh. Why did Tom Cruise steal my career?
Because you said he did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, Tom Hanks. Damn it.
Wow.
Fuck.
That's almost as successful as our attempt to record this program.
Damn it. That was a disaster. But you can fix it in editing. I'm sure you'll be motivated
to do so. You betcha. You betcha. I'm going to do a lot of editing on this one.
Okay. Can we switch topics?
Please.
This is a brief topic because I want to get to the good stuff we talked about yesterday, which was good. Anyway, what the fuck is going on? Where does this meme come from that I find to be so disturbing and horrific? More so than any that I've seen in the past year. What is this meme with all these straight girls, usually fat and ugly ones, that say, "I love my gays"? What the fuck is that? And where does it come from?
Hmm. What is this, a YouTube meme? Or
I think it comes from Kathy Griffin. I'm not sure.
Can you please tell me what a meme is? How out of
the loop?
A meme
is some dumb bullshit that people say.
You know, like something, it's like a disease, basically, a communicable disease.
Yeah. How do you spell it, and how did that word come about?
M-E-M-E, I don't know. It's like it came from internet hell.
M-E-M-E, meme. And it's something that people are saying?
Yeah, it's like a word virus, that kind of thing. Like an example is, that's what she said, you know?
Gotcha.
Or the thing of it is, anything like that. Well, no, the thing of it is isn't a good one, because it usually... But there are these girls, and I've seen it a lot. And I think I saw Kathy Griffin perform last year. I think she said it, so I would assume it came from her. But it's these girls, usually hags, and they say, "I love my gays."
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's basically, as unkind as this term is, it's basically fag hags just finally verbalizing it. I mean, when I was young, back in the Stone Age, there were fag hags all over the place, but they would never talk about gay people. Because you didn't talk about gay people. But now, you know, now it's a trendy, popular topic. And it's cool to be cool about gay people. So
yeah, and it's like so, but it's so, I mean, I hate to use the word offensive
like
because I'm so offensive, but it's just mind-bogglingly transparently offensive because I think these girls want to come off as being gay friendly and hip when in fact they're coming off as so incredibly homophobic and, you know, with this ownership, you know, this implied ownership.
Well,
like
and I
pets.
Find that it's usually women who actually don't spend a lot of time around the gay community or people in the, you know, people that are gay.
Right. Like
beyond a social, a very superficial social setting, because I've seen this. Mm-hmm. Quite often in person where, you know, it's like, "Oh, I just love having gay friends."
Mm-hmm. Or the kind of woman, the fat girl who goes to the gay bar with her gay friends so she can bum cigarettes.
Well, but see, that's different almost. Like the one I've seen a lot is usually like, you know, women who they have all the right clothes. They have all the, you know, they might have a little money. And, you know, they think like having their homosexual at their side is just completing their collection of, you know.
Right. Well, all I have to say in closure, because I do want to move on, is if you love your gays, then campaign for gay rights, gay marriage, thus and so, equal rights, everything. Okay? And shut the fuck up with your dumb lip service, you stupid fat cunt. And get on a diet.
My God.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
She's always got to make it a fat joke.
Uh-huh.
Yes. All right. So, did you see the movie, the Michael Moore movie, Capitalism, A Love Story?
Yes.
I actually just watched it a couple weeks ago.
What did you think of that movie? I'd like to know.
I quite enjoyed it, and I believe I said this yesterday.
Yeah, but they didn't hear that. I'm pretending we didn't have this conversation.
Oh, actually, I felt like most of his movies, I loved it in the way that made me want to go open up a vein in a warm tub.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of truth, but that truth is depressing.
Depressing. But you'd still want to know it or no?
Oh, absolutely. I think every, like, I wanted to call up my friends and say, can you believe this?
What did you think, Vera?
I have loved Wanda's description of it yesterday, and I love it again today. It's the exact same way that his movies always make me feel. Sicko made me feel that way. Bowling for Columbine made me feel that way. It's endlessly fascinating, endlessly informative, and endlessly sickening to the point of the warm tub. And the interesting question, do I want to know that? Sometimes I wonder if this kind of knowledge is doing me more harm than good, because I get so overwhelmed with a feeling of impotence and a feeling of how the fuck can anybody do anything about this stuff? It's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
So I come away with those kinds of feelings too. And I know you said yesterday, and I think you should bring it up again today, that the way to deal with those feelings is very important. And you had a solution that maybe you could talk about.
Well, yeah, the think I'm still going to fuck it up. The think globally,
think Tom
act
Hanks.
Locally. Is that right?
Think Tom Did Hanks, think? Act
think
Tom
Think globally,
Cruise.
Act locally. Is that right?
Yes.
Think globally, act locally.
Because some TED conference, you know, somebody who...
What's
you know,
TED,
they have all
please?
These TED is... it's this wonderful podcast, and it's a conference that they do once a year in America, and they have other places, but it's technology, entertainment, design. They have basically the smartest people from all over the world with really world-changing ideas, and they talk about them. It's wonderful. You should subscribe to it. It's great.
Okay.
You'd love it, Vera.
Okay.
And so they had some guy, and he was talking about change and how, if you look at the big picture, it's a disaster. You can't even move a muscle, but... You know, take something locally that you're passionate about in your life, whatever it is, and work on that. And that's how you can affect global change. So like if there's an alderman, like in my case, who's fucking everything up and you want to get rid of her, then, you know, do small things to try and get rid of her, you know, get a newsletter. I don't know, something like that. But the other thing is just the idea of spreading knowledge, because we're at the stage where, you know, capitalism is so ingrained in everybody that it's like it is so sacrilegious almost. Well, no, not even almost. It literally is sacrilegious, because I think capitalism is the true religion of our age. And I think when anthropologists look at our society thousands of years from now, they'll see, what is this George Washington? What kind of a god was he? You know, who is this Abraham Lincoln? What is this? What are these all these little tiny figurines that are around that represent these religious deities? Why were there so many of their statues? Of what do you call it when there's a statue that represents a deity? Well, there's a very
simple icon.
Word. Yeah, an idol. Yeah,
idol.
Right. Why do they have so many of these little idols? Why did they carry them in their pocket with them? It's just so strange. And sometimes they're, you know, I think that's so. It is a sacrilege when you talk about. I mean, I think that's the real religion. I mean, you can talk about Jesus, but that's just leftovers. Jesus is just leftovers. That
well,
we
Jesus
think
has become a capitalist. We have appropriated Jesus and Christianity, and I think Michael Moore played this out somewhat, if I remember correctly, in the documentary that, you know, we've made Jesus into a business, like an MBA. You know, because, I mean, even our churches are filled with people who think, you know, to be successful in your Christianity means that you're going to make a lot of money and you're going to, you know what I mean? That sort
right. well,
of prosperity.
Isn't that something that the Protestant movement did is it's in a lot of ways, it changed Catholicism and Christianity so that it basically endorses the work ethic and endorses sacrifice for money and, you know. That sort of thing. At least that's what they said in some boring ass class I took in religious studies. But I don't even remember, but I'm trying to.
Well, the whole work ethic is the Protestant. Absolutely. It's the Protestant
right.
work ethic.
Like the work ethic is ingrained in us. Work good, not work bad.
The idle hands
good,
are the devil's
work.
Playground.
What's that?
Idle hands are the devil's playground.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, it's so ingrained in us. Mickey Mouse from a very early age is total capitalism, you know, and you know, is it, but just, you know, for, I'm not even talking about the debate of whether capitalism is right or wrong or in the middle, which I happen to think in the middle personally, but just the, our reaction to any discussion of it is what I'm particularly interested in now, and how, like, because I feel it myself, and as a self-proclaimed liberal, I think if I feel it, and I'm at least cognizant of it, just there just must be a ton of people that have no idea. That, I mean, my parents will say this too, and they're very liberal in quotes. You know, oh, but it's, you know, the Winston Churchill quote, it may not be the best system, but it's the best system there is. You know, all these sort of assumptions, you know. And I think there are good things that came out of capitalism, like really good drugs. But then there's so many bad things, like pretty much every war has come out of capitalism, or just greed before capitalism even exists. But see, then I look and maybe it's the greed behind it, because dictatorships have horrible things and atrocities too.
Well, isn't so just the common denominator man? I mean, that's the problem with religion, with any ideology.
Yeah.
It's that people are the ones using it. We're going to use it to our own. It's really this realist
twist things.
I think it's really this realization of, and I think like the oil spill is a perfect example of this. Mm-hmm. You know, like we have not accepted who we are, meaning like we're like 5 seconds away from being animals, you know, on the prairie.
Yeah.
We our technology and has advanced so rapidly that there has not been an equal evolution in our psyche, I don't think, or our ability to handle the technology that we've developed. So, you know, you've just got basically animals running around. I don't know. Is that
you got what you got? Is you've got a caveman with a rifle, basically, and
well, with a nuclear weapon, more like. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's a sort of I don't know if you call it a dichotomy there, because we're the ones that created the shit. And yes, we are very animalistic on one part of the brain or whatever it is. But on the other hand, we're also very smart and evolved and intelligent.
No, only a few. See, I think that's the difference. Mm-hmm. The people that created the technology that Wanda was talking about, the technology that has advanced unbelievably leaps and bounds, those are a very select few of the Bill Gateses, forgive me, the Steve Jobs, the whatever, the people that the computer brains, the nerds, the ones that sit down and know how to circuit things together and make things work. I can't do that. You can't do that. There's a very select few people that can create the technology. And once that technology...
Oh, I can do that. I just choose not to.
Okay. Once that technology is created and then disseminated, no one knows how to responsibly use it. Nobody, you know, and for example, I love pornography. I'm not knocking pornography at all. But if you look at the internet, the vast majority of this technology is used in the dissemination of pornography, because it is what our baser needs. It is supplying our baser needs there. It isn't being utilized in all kinds of wonderful, intelligent, altruistic ways, because the people that created it are not the people that are using it. And that's the difference. The technology.
Well, see,
go ahead.
No, I'm just cutting you off just in the interest of time, but I think we're onto something here, because it seems like maybe all this talk about the system and capitalism as a system is really sort of the symptom, and the cause is just man sucking. Because if you look at history, I mean, capitalism hasn't been here very long. Communism was arguably worse, at least in Russia.
Yep.
You know, every type of system of government that I know of has turned into some sort of mass slaughter. I mean,
am
I missing something?
No, but and the other thing is that ultimately people perverse these ideologies to meet their own, you know, interests, which means that, you know, when you say, for example, that communism was worse, it wasn't communism that was worse. The ideology on paper sounds pretty good, but in practice, it was, you know, pretty shitty.
Right. And that's what I meant.
Because there was still a selfish top tier that was not living the true.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, I'm reading the latest biography on Mao, and the man is just was a kook, and he used this ideology to pervert, you know.
Yeah, and Chavez is also crazy. I mean, Chavez is doing a lot. He is doing a lot in terms of strengthening South America, but he's a complete whack job and totally crazy and shuts down the media because if he doesn't like what he hears. So, you know, I don't really know what to do. I think this is where, this is where the 60s were useful and hopefully will again, when they did a lot of experimentation on consciousness expanding drugs. And then it got all fucked up because of Timothy Leary and all these other idiots who made it into some recreational crap. But I've been reading about, I'm sure you have too, because you're the one that told me about that show, The Titty Book, Wanda.
The Titty Book.
Titty Book, TT Book.
Oh, yeah, TT Book.
Do you still listen to that?
I just listened. Wasn't there a thing on hallucinogenic?
Yes. And how it's making a resurgence. But see, I've really believed for some time that, and I don't want to people to misinterpret what I'm saying, because I don't use drugs. I have not for over 10 years in any capacity, well, except for when I'm prescribed. But, you know, there's investigation that was done started in the 60s and stopped by the FDA, and not even just the FDA, but a whole lot of cultural influences, you know, that stop the consciousness expanding, the investigation of consciousness expanding drugs in a therapeutic way. And the evidence was such that it overwhelmingly showed that people were having complete psychic changes in a positive way, if you consider positive things like pacifism and, you know, things like that. And, you know, I think sort of some sort of global awakening is really what, like almost like a spiritual awakening is necessary. And spiritual is a dangerous word because it brings connotations of religion. But I kind of like people need to see the big picture, which is that war is stupid. Like there was something, and I'm sorry I'm monopolizing, but I'll shut up in a second. But there was something I was reading about. I saw this film called Green Area. What is it called? That fucking Iraq shit.
Green Zone.
I saw this movie, Green Zone, and I was interested in it, in how much of it was true. And then I read the reviews, and they said it's only like 60% liked it. And then there was like a whole bunch of people thought that, you know, it was a political film. But the comment that interested me is that said a lot of people thought it was an anti-war film. And I thought, my God, who isn't anti-war? How, I just assume everybody's anti-war. How could you possibly be pro-war? It makes no sense. But that's the whole point of this consciousness expansion necessary, because if your consciousness is expanded enough, you understand that any discussion of war is completely ludicrous.
Yes, it is. But you know what? You get people that are backing their leaders and believe in their heart that their leaders are right. And their leaders tell them it's time to go to war. And these idiots will just say it's time to go to war because mm-hmm. their leader said so. So, yeah.
Well,
I don't, that is happening increasingly, as opposed, for in my opinion anyway, as opposed to consciousness expanding as the years go by. To me, it's closing in. It's shutting down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is imploding. It isn't expanding. And mm-hmm. people are blindly following somebody else. No one wants to take the lead or the initiative to lead. Everybody wants to just sit back, live their lives, and then do what they're told. And that's deadly. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, and I think, for me, I've always felt like the more that we can do to increase the ability for people on a regular basis to think critically about
yes.
the world around them, the better. I mean, we should be teaching, you know, children to think critically instead of, you know, like if you're fortunate enough to get into a college where you're lucky enough to take a course where they might teach you, you know, how to do this. More and more, I really just believe reason and thought and logic are things that would serve us well.
I do too, but can I tell you something depressing? Related to that, which is that I have a good friend who I haven't talked to since she told me she's a Republican over a year ago. I think I've mentioned her before. She teaches English in a rural school in Indiana, and she told me how she teaches critical thinking. But when I mention Obama to her, she's socialist. He's going to try to get everybody health care, and it's socialism. So critical thinking can be a double-edged sword. If you think you're thinking critically,
well, I mean,
I don't know.
Again, it's really just about, I mean, you know, people can use those thinking skills to create really bizarre conclusions.
Yeah.
So it's certainly not, you know, the be all and the end all. But my God, if we could increase the amount of critical thinking.
I think a good rule of thumb is if you think if you don't question your teacher at all, then you're not critically thinking. If you have a teacher who teaches you critical thinking and you think they're wrong in some way, then you're maybe on your way. If you have a, like even a yoga teacher, if you have somebody you call them a guru and you do everything they say, then you're not critically thinking, you're a sheep. No matter what it is, you have to.
Well, and I think we all have those limits, don't we? I mean, we all have those limits where we're not willing to be critical. Like, we're just, we accept things that do not make sense on the surface. So, I don't know. I mean.
All right. So let's wrap up the show. I will give you all a chance to have your last words. But I want to mention one thing, because on the show that doesn't exist, we discussed this book that I read called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. All I did want to do is suggest people read it. We may or may not discuss it a later time, whatever, but it's an interesting book. It's called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. I think it's by John Perkins. All right, so let's let Vera of VeraSpeaks.com say her last words and anything she wants to plug other than the BP hole. Vera.
Just that it's an absolute pleasure to be back again with you ladies, and that I hope that this indeed becomes a regular program without technical glitches. And I also, on our last show that never was, we talked about something that I saw, a documentary that I saw that I hope indeed that we'll bring up again, called Gasland. Mm-hmm. And I really would urge everybody to see Gasland, and then maybe we could talk about it on the next show. And
otherwise known as Vera's Bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. and it's just a joy and a pleasure to be back again. VeraSpeaks.com.
And Wanda of the program. What is the website now?
Just WandaWisdom.com. It hasn't changed.
So you didn't register the program?
No, I didn't. Okay. But it might, because, you know, names change, but I'm still here.
You're still Wanda Wisdom.
I'm still Wanda Wisdom. And you can visit me on WandaWisdom.com. I'm also on Facebook.com/WandaWisdom. And I'm very pleased to be here and kiss my ass.
And I'm Matt Weinstein of the Yeast Radio. And please go to yeastradio.com and buy my goddamn DVD. I don't care if you throw the fucking thing out as soon as you get it. I need the fucking money. There's a new trailer I just posted. It's wonderful. And yeastradio.com. And yeah. And if you want, if you like this show, then don't tell us. Just send us a check. Goodbye, everyone.
I like the way that Vera thinks.